I mean, look, the Islanders, I think they do need their own arena. I mean, Brooklyn is not that close.
No.
So, yeah. I don't know. It's,
we're excited.
It's not great.
Is Pedro here yet?
Is he? I don't know. He could be outside. Go take a look. As Tristan opens the door, play-by-play. Play-by-play Pat taking over. He's peeking. He's searching high and low. The door is now shut, and he is locked out. This is unfortunate. Oh, that could be. Yep. We have someone walking into the studio. That's a hands up, meaning no. Oh, he's locked out. That's why. I got to go open the door. Come on, Tristan. Rookie move, big cat. This is. Oh.
We're adapting on the fly, folks.
We are. That's what the big cat does, and that's what the Pat does. Adapting on the fly.
So our third guest today is here a little bit early, so we're going to switch it around.
A little bit of Halloween magic. We change guests just like that. And poof, we have Noah Carroll joining us in studio.
Noah, welcome.
Welcome.
First time here. How's it going?
Long time listener, first time caller.
First time guest, long time listener now, first time guest. It's amazing how that works. So Noah, welcome. Season, how's it going so far? How's everyone looking?
So far, everything's going about as according to plan as you can ask for. We got conferences this weekend, so I mean, I guess that'll kind of be the sum of everything that we've done this year. So we'll see.
Yeah, you mentioned that after the Nisani race that opened up the season, that this is kind of that was kind of a benchmark, and then you know you'd really see where you guys stand this weekend. Your thoughts heading into the weekend, how everyone's looking, and then you know kind of what you're expecting.
Yeah, I mean we were at Central Connecticut this past week on Friday actually, and everyone ran pretty well. You know, came close to beating a couple teams we'd never beat before, so it kind of puts us in a good standing leading into a championship weekend. You know, some ups and downs throughout the season. We're a small team, so a little bit of sickness has run through the team, just some cold and flu virus, but everything's under control now. So, yeah, I mean, it's a tough course this coming weekend. You know, we've all been, you know, given, you know, the stats on, you know, times run there and everything, and they're, you know, some great athletes have been through and, you know, not run super, super fast. So it's kind of, you know, it kind of works to our advantage. I think we're just a really tough, gritty, you know, kind of blue collar team. So I think we can kind of go in and, you know, surprise some people, I think would be our best way to put it.
Tough, gritty, blue collar team. How does that translate in cross country? How does it translate for a runner in cross country?
The best way to put it is there's a little bit less finesse, I guess, would kind of see. There's just, you know, some guys and girls who just want to go out there, work hard, run hard, don't really care how much pain they're in. Course conditions are, you know, a non-issue. It's just something that they can go in and do and race well, you know, whatever the course is. They don't need to have, you know, perfectly groomed grass or, you know, stone dust trails, or it doesn't need to be flat, or they don't get, you know, flustered when course conditions change. So, you know, we practice that a lot. You know, we don't always have, you know, sometimes we have to adjust during a practice day. I'll say we'll be outside at the track, and then we'll have to be at a trail system the next, you know, later on in the morning. So it's not really one thing that they're used to having, you know, consistent, you know, place to run, place to practice. We've practiced these change-ups before. So
the NAC championships this weekend out in Loretto, Pennsylvania. You guys have run there before. I think it was 3 years ago they had the championship meet there, or 2 years ago they had the championship meet there. Mm-hmm. What are you telling the team going through this week and into the championships? What is the mindset of this team? What are you trying to have them accomplish?
Yeah, so I've actually never been to Loretto. I think that was 2 years. It was the year before I got here. I went to school down that way, and it is painfully hilly. Every course down there, it's crazy. We've really kind of worked on the last couple weeks, especially of finding each other in races. You know, just having a teammate that you can kind of, you know, either key off of or look to for, you know, some sort of judgment in the race, you know, where you are, you know, how your team is doing. It's not a go out there and, you know, kind of, you know, run wild yourself kind of course. You really need to draw off the strength of your team. So both men and women have done, you know, a lot of group runs, a lot of group workouts the last couple weeks. The individual nature of our program has kind of taking a back seat to more of the team aspect this year, you know, just because it is such a tough course. You just really need, you need other people to pull you through on this week.
Looking at the times and the finishes from your meets so far going into this weekend, Milan Duca has led you in every meet on the men's side. Melissa Lodge, Emily McNeil, Liz Wilmington have all kind of traded that top spot on the women's side. What do you look for individually? Do we see a person that can go out and win a race on Saturday?
In the men's side, it'll be tough. CCSU, Wagner. Actually, Wagner's probably got, you know, their best guy. I think they've had a guy that has won NEC Athlete of the Week, you know, 5 weeks in a row or something crazy like that. He's, you know, he's good, and you can't always account for a new talent that comes in. New blood is just it's tough to predict. So, you know, Milan, speaking of the men's side, he'll go out and he'll compete, you know, for a top 5-6 spot.
He's a two-time All-NEC performer already in his career.
Yes, yeah, he's, you know, he shows up whenever he needs to show up, which is, you know, to have consistency in performance like that is a pretty big deal. So, you know, he's mentally, he's prepared. He's been in this situation time in, time again. He's, you know, he's kind of proven that he's got the wheels when he needs the wheels. Looking more specifically to the women's side, as you said, you know, we've got, you know, three girls who have traded that number one spot all year, which is unusual sometimes in cross country track and field, but they are, you know, they're a top of the NEC team, and, you know, as NEC's gotten better, you know, year after year, Bryant's gotten better with it, you know, they've continued to hold that, you know, top three spot, and I think realistically any one of those women could finish, you know, first for the team, but I think realistically all of them will finish in the top 10. That's as my bold prediction of the NEC meet this week.
Emily McNeil, a former NEC Rookie of the Year when she was a freshman. Liz Wilmington has put together a really solid first two seasons. And Melissa Lodge, a girl that came in, this is her first year running cross country, but had a lot of success in the outdoor track and field season. This team, the last 3 or 4 years, has been a perennial top three finisher, as you said. How much excitement has that brought to this program?
It's brought quite a bit. I mean, I guess I've only really been here since they've, you know, I came in and they had just, you know, had their highest finishes ever. And then we, you know, stepped it up, you know, the year after, and everyone finished, you know, about a place higher, which was, you know, awesome. So I think that there's just a really good feeling of momentum behind us right now. You know, we've kind of changed, we've changed our mindset. We've changed kind of what is acceptable for us in terms of outcome of races. You know, people always think about winning as this great thing, but no one really ever, you know, sees it as like kind of a must have. We operate off of a, we can't fail kind of mentality now, which is a really cool thing to see over, you know, just the last, you know, 2.5 years since I've been here.
Getting back to the women, as Tristan and you both spoke about a little bit ago, Emily McNeil and Liz Wilmington, both altering between first and second, a couple, your only two races of the year. Is that competition within the team? How good is that for them individually, you know, pushing each other, you know, wanting to go out there and compete not just against other teams but also against themselves?
It's a blessing. You know, sometimes I'll get out of the way, sometimes tensions can fly amongst teammates. It's tough, you know, when you're having a tough day and someone you hang out with every day, or, you know, you run the same workouts, you know what they're doing every day, and if they drop you on a run, that's tough. Like, it's a very, you got to be mentally tough to, you know, to make it through some of those days. But at the same point in time, you know, when you're having a great day, so, you know, Liz has a great day, Emily doesn't, you know, Liz at the end of that run is, you know, over there telling Emily, you know, how awesome she did, you know, we made it through a tough run, you know, tomorrow will be better. Our mentality is that of, you know, every run is its own run. You just kind of can't hold on to the past. You know, if you have a bad race, we have the midnight rule. Once it reaches midnight, you know, we're done brooding and, you know, thinking about, you know, the negative outcomes of anything, and we're on to the next day. So, you know, that we've got, realistic, we have, you know, 5-6 women that are all, you know, working out together every day, which is, you know, usually it's been one great individual or, you know, a couple, you know, people scattered, you know, here and there, you know, on down the line. But, you know, we have a core group of women that work out together every single day. And that's just I think it's shown in their consistent, you know, performance and placing in meets this year.
Most important thing for a cross country runner from when they wake up on race day till when the gun goes off in your mind?
Keeping those nerves calm. That's really it. There's not like much physically that you can do to get ready for that day. You know, a couple good nights sleep leading up to it is, you know, great. You know, making sure that you've, you know, you're fueled, nutrition wise, you're fueled properly. But realistically, just making sure that you're not, letting your emotions get to you before that race. It is so much a mental sport at that point in time. When you're kind of, waiting on the line, waiting for the gun to go off, it's just, you got to keep those nerves down. You got to keep that adrenaline from pumping and wait to save it for those right times.
This may sound silly or dumb, but an honest question. You guys, your travel consists of maybe 2 hours tops. You're going to Loretto, Pennsylvania, which is 7 to 8 hours. Are you going to stop frequently and get off and just run? Is that the plan? How does that work for cross country?
They might run the last 5 miles.
You guys aren't used to being on a bus for that long and being cooped up.
Yeah, no, that's actually something we thought about. It's a 10-hour trip actually, which is even better. We're looking about 5 hours in. We're going to stop. We'll get to the bus, kind of early in the morning, and we'll let everyone sleep, kind of wake up a little bit, watch some movies, do whatever, whatever else they want to do if they want to catch up on some work. But then we'll get off, we'll get to a park, we'll run around a little bit. They don't really have too much going on right now. It's just about, keeping their legs loose and feeling, pretty fluid. Then we'll get back on the bus. But, we'll take a couple stops, stretch, walk around. Stops do take a little bit longer. It's not just a, get off, go to the bathroom, get back on the bus type of deal. It's, we walk around a little bit and kind of occupy a lot of space in road rest stops. So matching uniforms always helps, draw attention to us as well. So we always get questions. Bryant, where's Bryant? I've never heard of that high school.
Get that a lot.
Favorite road rest stop. Food place,
rest stop. Are we talking throughway or any place I can stop? We're going to it.
Favorite on like a throughway or like a major highway.
Whether it's like a a gas station,
it's like a Sbarro store.
I'm big on like mini mart food. I like granola bars. Buy two get one free drinks. Wherever you can get. I'm real big on Arnold Palmer. So like if there's a place that has Arizona teas. I don't really eat too much on a bus. Like I kind of get motion sickness, but my appetite just leaves me. So it's more fluids and little snack foods. Crackers, granola bars, things like that. So I can find that anywhere. There's no specialty restaurant for that.
Noah and I are both upstate New Yorkers, and with that comes our love for Wegmans.
Oh, my God.
Favorite pre-made or favorite, they have the whole section of made food for you already, and they have sandwiches and pizza. Favorite thing in there.
Okay. So I go to...
I'm waiting for some huge concoction right now, by the way.
Yeah, first I go to the fresh salad bar. $8.99 a pound. Seems pricey, but really it's on par with... It's really on par with Whole Foods and better quality, more friendly people to deal with. So I fill up some salad. They usually have a bunch of like pre-made like pastas, orzo salads, cucumber and tomato salads and stuff like that. So I'll pile a bunch of that stuff in. And then where else can you couple salad with fried lo mein other than Wegmans? So I will head over to the Chinese food section, throw in some lo mein on that, and then usually I'll get a bowl of soup. They have really good broccoli cheddar soup.
It's really
shrimp
good.
Shrimp bisque, actually, I think would probably be my go-to there. So soup, salad, and noodles.
There's a Wegmans in Cicero. I think it's Cicero.
Yep.
And they have a roast beef brisket carving station, and they dump it in they dip it in the au jus for you and put it on like a toasted roll. Dynamite.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah, I think it's the DeWitt Wegmans.
DeWitt. Correct.
Yeah, the DeWitt Wegmans is awesome. It's kind of the other than the homeland of Rochester where it came from. I think that DeWitt Wegmans does Wegmans justice.
It's really good.
For those of you who've never heard of Wegmans or been to Wegmans, how can we describe Wegmans?
It's a glorified grocery store.
It's an institution. It's some Wegmans.
Have you been to Wegmans?
Yeah, the first Wegmans I've ever been to, the only one I've ever been to actually is in southern Pennsylvania, about an hour or so outside of Philadelphia. Got family out there, and it's massive. They have a restaurant inside as well.
Oh, it's incredible.
It's outstanding.
Massive subs. Pizza's great. The prepared food is unbelievable.
It's just everything's so fresh. They have a huge produce, fresh meat section. They have a lot of locally sourced foods.
It's kind of like, size-wise, it's comparable to like a Costco, but it's just food.
Right, yeah. Yeah, they don't have anything,
My parents drive 40 minutes on weekends just to go to a Wegmans. They take a Wegmans trip to Syracuse.
It's worth it.
And they have really good apple cider. I'm not a huge apple cider guy, but they have really good apple cider there.
Yeah, they've ventured into the fresh squeezed juices, kind of wheelhouse lately.
But if you're listening here at Bryant and you're wondering what's the closest Wegmans to me, there is one in Northborough, Massachusetts.
It's